independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Oh, man, I tell you what, there's so much stuff happening in the world. People are texting me still about the whole Donald Trump Jr. By the way, he just hired a lawyer, apparently. And I've said the optics is bad. And if you didn't hear what happened, Donald Trump Jr., Paul Manafort, and the son-in-law, Jared Kushner, met with a Russian, they'll describe her probably as some sort of operative. I think what she was is an opportunist who had some legal dealings in the United States with some people that had some money laundering issues that were also her clients back in Russia. And she has a passion, I guess, for Russian adoption. And she wanted to talk to the potential president of the United States people about things that maybe she could move along through. And she used a loss leader in having dirt on Hillary, essentially, to get a meeting. And they realized there was no dirt. So then she started pressing the issue when it came to a bunch of other crap. And I said it is an optics that is not good for the White House. It's not. Look, if this was the first thing, right? If this was the first thing that took place, that would be different. But this is Donald Trump Jr. This was Paul Manafort. This and Jared Kushner, and they've had to go back and amend some of their stuff. It's frustrating as hell. It is. I know there's no there. People don't hear that because they hear that you are not one of these people that is throwing everything behind Trump no matter what he does. And that's not who I am. I'm going to give you a fair, honest assessment and a breakdown of each thing that he does, you know, on a case-by-case basis. And that's what you should want from anybody who's going to give you real analysis and opinion based on the facts and go from there. The facts are there's no collusion. There's none. There's no collusion, at least not at this moment. Could there potentially be some? Of course. Could we potentially find Hillary's, emails one day? There could be all kinds of stuff in there that's bad. Absolutely. Absolutely. But this just wasn't a good situation. It wasn't something that needed to be done. It was really coming in at a bad time. New York Times broke it. People said, oh, here comes the fake news. But eventually Don Jr. came out and said, yeah, she said she had stuff. She didn't really. She wanted to talk about adoption, a bunch of other crap. We knew there was nothing there. Well, you should have said something. You should have alerted the FBI. You should have alerted the intelligence community saying, look, you know what? I may not like this chick. And look, Don Jr. knows her. Right. I may not like this lady that my dad's running against. I may not like any of this stuff, but she's an American citizen and these people are playing games. Would have been the right thing to do. Optic wise. Think about this. Right. If the New York Times reports over the weekend, let's just talk about optics for a second. New York Times reports over the weekend that somewhere in the Mueller investigation that this lady had contacted Donald Jr., Paul Manafort, Kushner, and that they had went to the FBI and the CIA and disclosed that this lady wanted something and that they thought it was wrong. What would the optics look like for the White House today? Oh, wow. That would have changed a lot of things, right? People have been going, oh, these guys even reported this. It's an optics thing. Doesn't have to be true for people to believe it and want to believe it. And the thing that I talk about a lot when it comes to with Trump supporters who, you know, over the weekend, I started on a new affiliate and it's, a few of their people were angry because they think I'm a never Trumper because they're like, well, you've criticized him. And I'm like, yeah. You don't think he deserves criticism? No, I don't. He's our president. He should never be criticized. I'm like, did you criticize Obama? Yeah, but that's because I didn't like him. I'm like, well, there you go. You want your politics the way you want it. This optics wasn't good. And again, no there. No collusion. None of that stuff I see anywhere. And I'm looking. I'm like, what's going on? Just like you're looking. Still have yet to find anything. Because I don't think there's anything there. I want us to move on with our lives. because we got other issues that need to be addressed. But it's still going to be an issue, and it's still going to be there. A lot of people texted me this weekend. They tweeted at me, how long do you think this Russia stuff's going to go on? I'm like, how long do you think that the Hillary email thing or the Benghazi thing's going to go on? They're like, well, it's still going on. I'm like, there's your answer. It's going to go on for as long as the press and the left continues to use it. That's how long it's going to go on. There's the answer to the question. You answered it yourself. Well, that's frustrating. It is frustrating. There's bigger things. They're back. And by they, I mean not the boys are back in town. Congress is back in town. They got stuff to do. Senators have a bill there that nobody at all thinks at this moment in time is going to get through. Mitch McConnell's got to do some maneuvering, and I don't know what kind of maneuvering he's going to be able to do to get this thing through. On top of that, one thing you're not hearing today, which is Trump, it maybe served his first, pie to the face when it comes to the Republicans and him. They've got a bill that's out there that's going to be on his desk. Is he going to veto it? And it has to do with tougher sanctions when it comes to Russia. There are so many things going on, and yet this is the 24-hour news cycle, and this is a group of people that want to do everything they possibly can to discredit the president. They want to do everything they possibly can to relitigate over and over and replay and try to find a way to have a new outcome when it comes to Hillary and her loss. And because of that, they're going to play this all the time. They're going to play it up. Doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about it, but in the overall importance of the world that we live in, there's not a lot. But where the importance comes from in this is it really slows things down when we need to be ramping things up. We need to start looking at a situation where we get these senators out there busting their ass to do the right thing when it comes to stuff like immigration, healthcare, tax reform, reg reform, real bills and legislation that are going to help further us along in this country. That's what we need. And yet they've got to answer questions over and over again. We need to start talking about trade. Something that, you know, we're going to come at trade in a much different way. We talked about it on Friday. Trade's going to be one of those things where they're going to be one-offs. We'll talk to China on our own. We'll talk to Vietnam on their own. We'll talk to Pakistan. We'll talk to England. Great Britain. We'll talk to Germany on their own. We're not coming at it as a group. But where are this? Where are these things in the level of importance? They should be very important. But it's Russia, 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 like Marsha, 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 and much like Marsha, 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 nobody cares. Nobody liked Marsha. Let's be real. She was the practice girlfriend, if she was anything. There's a reason she dated George Glass. You guys remember George Glass? That was her fake pretend boyfriend. There's a reason for that. Because there's no there there. It's time that we start getting stuff done. You broke health care. You've now taken it on. You better fix it in some way, shape, or form that includes giving us more options, more choices, and getting the hell out of the patient-provider relationship, getting hell out the way. God, it's just amazing. It really is. Russia, Russia, Russia. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat@chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. 23. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You are in it up to your ears. Literally. There's no turning back now.
You dented my boob. You totally dented it.
You know who you are.
Here's Chad Benson.
Human rights!
okay, I think as we all know that when you're going to do something like that, the rhyme has to, you can't go haku. I can't go haku. No, you can't. It's got to go all the way. Because you hear she lost everybody, right? Because they didn't know which way she was going. She had everybody going along. They were cheering. And then it just went like, they're like, what? This isn't rhymey. Healthcare on the docket will be and continually will be for the foreseeable future until something gets done. And more, I think you're going to see more and more of this over the next several weeks while they sit there and figure out where do we go? Where do I go from here? Right? Do we get it done? Do we not get it done? Some people think it could get done. Other people, like, you know, Senator John McCain, think it can't be done. There's going to be infighting, and there's going to be a lot of people that I think are going to be butthurt because they're not going to get what they want. But to get to that magic number, Mitch McConnell's going to have to, you know, do some stuff. He's going to have to be magical Mitch. He can't just be regular Mitch, right? There's no winning in that. You got to be magical Mitch McConnell and get it did, or you're screwed. You don't want that. You don't. You got to be dangerous. You got to be quick. You got to be fast. You got to be lightning. And you're going to have to cut deals. You're going to have to cut deals. And we all know people love IOUs, right? Now, they don't love it when it comes to money and their world, but they do love it when it comes to favors. And this is an IOU situation for some of these people. They're going to be looking out for it when the time comes. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. I have a poll up at Chad Benson Show. Will you pay $99 for the Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor fight? Because that's what it's being priced at. I thought it would be higher. I thought it was going for $119. It's the first time you're going to see it cross that threshold of the $99, break the ceiling, and that this was going to be something bigger. And a lot of people are worried about this fight. Is it going to be rigged? Is something going to happen? Producer Phil really wants to get on the action betting-wise. You're a little wary, Producer Phil, because of, you know, it's boxing. And as we all know, boxing at times can be not so above board.
Yep, there's a lot of things that can happen here.
Yeah. Here's the thing. There is a number out there, and it's not a monetary number when it comes to Mayweather that is vitally important. It is 59-0. It is beating Rocky Marciano. That is what he wants. I mean, it's 50-0. It is beating Rocky Marciano's 49-0. That's what he wants. It's legacy. The money's not going to hurt either. He's going to make a ton of it because he's got to pay the IRS some. He's got some issues there. Currently, 82% says, no, I will not pay that. You are fooling yourselves and you're lying. So we know that 18% of you say, yes, I would. So you tell the truth. And 82% of my followers and people listening to the show are full of lies. Because it's an event, right? Well, you're going to see it. Now, you may not pay $100, but you may pay 10, right? You may go to a bar that's showing it, and you pay 10. But I understand. Look, I completely understand why people are worried about paying this and not getting money's worth. I watched a boxing match about a week ago. Manny Pacquiao took on an Australian guy, relative unknown, has never fought out of Australia, and he lost. This guy named Jeff Horn. I watched the fight. Unless somewhere between the fight being beamed, the actual fight itself, then being beamed to me, stuff happened in between, then I don't know how that Jeff Horn guy won. Pacquiao punched harder, threw more punches, landed more punches, yet, and I think the WBO, okay, hey, we're going to rescore it. Then they came and they rescored it, and they had five judges look at it. One was a draw. One gave Pacquiao the win, and three other ones gave Jeff Horn the win. It is dirty. That's why people don't like boxing. They don't like dirt. They just don't. Hey, by the way, speaking of dirt, Phil, you have to watch this. It's called Tour de Pharmacy, and it's the same. It's Andy Samberg's group. I forgot what they're called.
Lonely Island.
Yeah, they did this on HBO, and they got everybody in the world in this thing. They've got so many people in this. It was. I watched it last night. and I was laughing so hard. And they even got, get ready for this, they even got Lance Armstrong. And it was supposed to be about the 1982 Tour de France, and it's a total mockumentary. And it really was mockering, and that's why they called it Tour de Pharmacy, that there was 170 like seven riders that started out, but 172 of them were disqualified. So it was down to the final five, right? And it was Andy Samberg. It was John Cena was a rider. Orlando Bloom was somebody else. This guy called Little Robinson, who was Jackie Robinson's nephew. And a woman, I forgot her name. She's gorgeous, but she was pretending to be a man so she could ride it. But it was all about the fake, the tour, the pharmacy, and all the drugs. And what I loved about it is they actually got Lance Armstrong. And the way that they mocked him up is they put him in a room and it was all dark and he was talking about, you know, all this stuff. And he kept saying, "You guys can't see me, right?" And you could fully see it's him. They said, "No, we'll give you something else to put on. We can't see you, but if you're worried about it." So the first they give him a fur coat, and he loves it, right? Then they give him a cowboy hat, and you could totally see him. And then they give him a biker helmet. He says, "Man, are you sure this is right? Because I look more recognizable with the bike helmet on." And then he goes, "Well, if you can't see me, man," he goes, "I'm going to tell you about all the stuff." He goes, and he starts going off. And it was hilarious that he could do something like that, you know. And he goes, "Well, now, you know," and he goes, "that's all that we do is dope. And, Mexico's better than America." And he starts going off and off and off, all kinds of stuff, thinking nobody could see him. But for him to do that, I loved it. Mock yourself at this point, Lance. Mock yourself. Good on you. If you've not seen it, check it out. HBO, it's called Tour de Pharmacy. And it really takes a mocking joke at bicycle racing, but it's hilarious. And Mike Tyson is so funny in it. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You know, one thing Donald Trump did is he changed a lot of things for politicians, big and small, when it comes to reaching an audience. Changed a lot of things. And I found this to be really intriguing, but also at the same time, eye-opening for the media and eye-opening for television companies. But really eye-opening for the news media in the way the future is. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but Bernie Sanders has his own show.
"Please don't use the camera unless you ask me, okay?"
For a guy trying to build his own media empire, Bernie Sanders doesn't love every camera.
"I was smart enough years ago to understand that this is the future."
We spent some time with him to get a close-up look at his new talk show. That's right, Bernie Sanders has a talk show.
So Bernie Sanders has a talk show. Talk shows on Facebook Live. Realizing that the two guys that advanced what was supposed to be something for a younger generation, but took a hold of it and took to it like fish in water to push their message and agenda out to the people and circumvent what was the old way of doing things, which is we go to the media, we hold a press conference, it gets out there, boom. Because the news world, it's changed. It's no longer appointment viewing. "Hey, it's 6 o'clock at night, the world news tonight on," or whatever's on. And it's, you know, whether it was Walter Cronkite or you know, Brinkley or any of these people that were there, you know, or Ted Koppel. That's all gone now, right? That's all gone now. We choose the media the way that we want to choose it. We are, many of us on both sides of the aisle have decided, "Hey, I'm going to hunker down in this bunker. This is what I believe, and I'm going to go to the media that supports my belief system, and I want to consume it when I want, how I want, where I want." So that's what we do. So people like Donald Trump, using Twitter, have decided I can reach my audience and then some. I can reach my constituents. I can reach all of the things that I want to reach, the people I want to reach. I can do that now. I don't need the media. Retail politics. That's what everybody thought. This was going to be down. This is going to be retail politics. And Trump didn't have retail politics that Hillary did. She had a machine. But you know what? He circumvented that, and he took his message out there. And you know who else did that? Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, the cantankerous old 70-year-old man who really reached a young audience, a mass audience. And how big of an audience? I think a lot of people will be surprised.
He wasn't exactly keen to have cameras around that weren't his, which makes sense, because now, more than ever, politicians can use platforms like Facebook Live to get their messages out unfiltered.
That's it. Unfiltered. Unfiltered. Which is great. But they get to reach their audience, the people that they want to have hear their message. And their audiences are much bigger than people realize.
Gives me an opportunity to speak directly to many millions of people about the work that we're doing, about the issues.
How many millions? Lots of them. Retweets. Repostings of his show. He'll get 275,000 people just watching his show while it's live. Can you think about that for a second? 275, 250, then it's reposted, retweeted, reshared, all of this thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. Put it in perspective, Morning Joe gets 500,000 people watching it. He can go into his office and do a Facebook Live and get nearly as many people. And then some, if you look at how many times those things are rewatched. Because nobody's waking up at 9 or 10 o'clock and going, man, I taped Morning Joe. I'm going to watch it. Nobody's doing that. They may catch a blurb because they say something absurd or there's a fight between Mika, Joe, and the president. But outside of that, they're not. But people will go back and they will rewatch or watch the first time Bernie Sanders. I would say this. I bet you he has a bigger audience than a good portion of the people that you see in the 24-hour news cycles. That's amazing. Trump, massive audience when it comes to Twitter. He knows he has the cameras on him. Could you imagine if he had a Facebook Live show? He'd get 1 million, 2 million viewers. Every single, let's say he does it every 5 days to talk about stuff. Maybe that's something you should bring up with him. He won't talk to me, but if you could. Rather than have, remember the weekly radio address that all presidents have? How about a weekly Facebook Live thing? He would get more people. Anderson Cooper and Tucker Carlson and Rachel Maddow would live to have that kind of audience, right? God, that'd be huge. It would be massive. It would just, and the retweets and then the repostings and the sharing. Oh, my God, it would be huge. But besides all of that stuff, this is the thing, when you listen to this next clip, that really nails it when it comes to the media and how they feel about this in the moment.
Today, Bernie was interviewing New Yorker writer Jane Mayer, a kind of role reversal.
Okay, sorry. No camera?
Yeah, it's all good here.
Our camera wasn't allowed in, so we spent about 20 minutes in this very dull hallway. But the point is, he didn't need us. Sanders' videos get millions of views. His interview with Bill Nye got over 100,000 shares and 25,000 comments. These interactions help him shape his message.
And remember, it's the message he wants to shape with no worry about how it's going to be perceived by a soundbite. He goes out and he says the things that he wants to say. He brings it to the people that he wants to reach. Now, will people on the right take it and chop something up? Potentially. But the people that he wants to reach, they're going to understand that. Just the same thing as Trump. They understand. But the best part was they knew that they were no longer needed. That they could be circumvented in a way that doesn't cost more than a couple hundred bucks and a bunch of followers. That's that has to drive them crazy. That absolutely has to drive them crazy. They sit here. See, this is the thing about sports, right? You're not going to, like, Phil, what did you tweet a couple months ago and they made you take it down? That at one of the football games, everybody's supposed to bring their iPhone or something and they're supposed to film the game and everybody's going to watch it and somebody made you take it down?
Yeah. I was saying that the NFL was going to get rid of all cameramen.
Yeah. That's hilarious. But that'll never happen. That will never happen. But you know what? As a politician, you don't need the millions of dollars to run. You don't need the potential billions of dollars to run. You have got a platform to take things to the people that you have never had before. And this, to me, is awesome. This, to me, is awesome. Awesome in so many ways. Because think about the council man or woman who's running in your area, or the person who's running for mayor, or the person who's running for state senator or assemblyman or whatever it is. Think about how they can now go out there and build something bigger and stronger and circumvent the way that we used to do things. No more is it a soundbite here, a quote there. It's now about going out immediately and reaching the people, reaching the followers, getting your message out there, and doing it in such a way that it's reaching more people quicker. And the media is starting to realize that it's too late now. The genie is out of the bottle. The genie is never going back in the bottle. And guess what? The genie granted everybody a wish, which was, I want to reach more people quicker, faster, and in the way that I want to reach them. And boom, your wish is my command. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. By the way, Charlie Gard, we touched on him last week. He's a little boy in Great Britain, in England, who is dying and is battling a disease called mitochondrial depletion syndrome. So mitochondrial depletion syndrome. He's 11 months old. It's a rare genetic disease. His family has been battling and continues to battle because a doctor here in America has said that I've got a procedure that is experimental, but it may help. Today was another day in court because the British courts have spoken and the doctors that are treating him want to pull the plug on him. His family is fighting to keep him alive, to get him over here for an experimental treatment, of which the doctors here say there's no chance. Well, there are now several doctors coming out from Italy, from America, as well as other doctors in England who are saying, whoa. Who said there was no chance? Well, these doctors. Well, it's a one in a billion. Not so much. In fact, doctors are saying there's a 10% chance, may even be greater, that this will actually work and help Charlie tremendously. And he had to go to court today. His family did. And his father had a massive outburst because they told him, you have until Wednesday to present new evidence. Otherwise, that's it. Then they've taken this to the highest courts in Britain. Then they went to the human rights courts in Europe, the European Union Human Rights Courts, and they said, no, we're going to refer back to the British thing, their courts, the high court rulings, and they said that it's time to turn off the life support. It's insane. What wouldn't you do for your kid? I mean, come on, what wouldn't you do for your kid? That's what I took my little brother yesterday swimming, right? Special needs swimming. I took him swimming. He is handicapped like you couldn't believe. Trach, G-tube. So that's how he eats, the G-tube. Pour food into his belly inside of a tube. He breathes out of his throat, right? He has got brain damage, but he recognizes, he smiles, he lights up a room. I couldn't imagine our world without him. You would do anything to fight for your child. The fact is that they won't let this family take, even, I don't care if it's 1%, you won't allow this family to take that child to America for an experimental treatment that may or may not work, but may have benefits for children and people who suffer from this down the line. You will not allow that to happen, and it's not even costing you a dime. They're not asking you to do anything other than just let them take their child. That is insane. It really is. And people say, well, this is such a situation. 3 or 4 years ago, there was another situation very similar to this in Britain where a family decided that they were done with the treatments and the way that things were going in Britain. They didn't think it was they'd essentially given up. They took their I think it was their daughter at the time. They went to Italy, and what was supposed to be an experimental treatment saved the girl's life, but they were eventually detained and in prison or in jail for 5 days for taking their child and saving their child's life. Ah, it's insane. It really is. It really is. I am pulling for this youngster, and I think their family, I think he deserves a fighting chance. A fighting chance. And we're not talking about one in a billion, and even if it was one in a billion, you gotta give your child every chance. Let's wrap it up straight ahead. Chad Benson Show.
Fresh farm to table. This is the Chad Benson Show.
Oh, man. I love this story. So, a young kid up in Seattle sees something in, I believe it was the Washington Post, and it was a photo. And the photo had a Post-it note on it, and on it was General Mad Dog Mattis's phone number. Quickly, the Washington Post took it down. They got it down, and away it went. But this kid had his phone number, so he called it. Right, 10th grader calls it. Nobody picks up. He doesn't know, so he texts the number. And lo and behold, now remember, he's the defense secretary, right? Mad Dog Mattis. He texts back. Kid asked for an interview for his, like, school paper. Mattis says, all right. Right? So here's this young Teddy Fisher kid who sees this, grabs a hold of it, has the cojones enough to call it, then text him and ask for an interview. Mattis says, yeah, let's do it. And gives the kid not a 5-minute interview, not a 15-minute interview, not a 30-minute interview, but a 45-minute interview. I think that's great. I love that. I love those kind of stories. I do. He said the most important thing when talking about war, he says, if you have to go to war, then do everything you can not to go to war, if at all possible. Then you've got to get that political end state right, or you're never going to figure out how to end it successfully, which is the most important thing. How do you end the thing successfully? Because we always can find a way to get into a fight, right? That ain't hard. But how do you end it? That's the hard question. When it came to Afghanistan, the Russians, they knew how to get into it. They didn't know how to end it. And we made sure that they ended it in a way where there was a loss by helping them. But rather than go on and help them in other ways, which was probably virtually impossible, we ignored it. And boom, there we are. And here we are now, 16 plus years later, and we're still in the quagmire there. So I love that. I love the fact that he would do something like that. That makes me smile. I love that big time. Big time, big time, big time. Also, good news today, and something that we should have talked about earlier, but you get bogged down talking about a lot of the other crap, is they came out. PM, Prime Minister of Iraq, said, look, it's over. It's done. We have kicked their ass. ISIS, Mosul is completely freed. ISIS is dead and done for, at least at this moment in time. They are on the run. Doesn't mean that they're going to disappear. Doesn't mean that they're gone forever, because that's not true. But what it does mean is they are weakening at this point in time. And the big reason is because their lifeline of money is drying up. And when you can't afford to pay people to buy into your crap, they will go away. And that's good. That is very, very good. They are on the run, and they, you know, people say, well, you know, look, there's no victory in something like this that'll be ultimate, because ISIS is still going to be there. There is no land. There is no flag. There is no uniforms of which they fly under. They have the ISIS flag, but there is no, we're going to go in and surrender and everything's done. There will be new groups that will pop up, much like Al-Qaeda has continued to do. But this is a victory. This, you know, having their asses handed to them the way that it has is a huge victory. Huge, massive victory. Once again, Donald Trump Jr. has hired a lawyer, and this will be more fodder for people across the board when it comes to what did the campaign know and what didn't they know. And now that he has admitted that he met with a Russian attorney or lawyer in regards to potential dirt, there's going to be some splaining. I don't think there's any there, but there's definitely going to be some questions and answer time that he's going to have to play with. We'll see what happens. You can always text us, 323-538-2423. Email the show, chad@chadbensonshow.com. Follow us on Twitter, @ChadBensonShow. Like us on Facebook, Chad Benson Show. For Anthony, for Phil, solid fun Monday. We kicked it off good and strong, people. As always, I bid you adieu. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.